Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
6:13 now on this Wednesday morning. Going to be a nice day, but not really completely sunny as people thought it was going to be. 20% chance for some sprinkles, they're saying, with a high of 68. Right now it's 58. Sunny and nice tomorrow, 76 for a high. Warm and breezy Friday, highs of 80. And then Saturday and Sunday. Sunday's Palm Sunday, by the way. 84 on Saturday for a high, 80 on Sunday. Right now it's 58. Don't forget Newell Norman at 10 o'clock is going to talk to Interim Police Chief Michelle Woodfork with a WWL exclusive. Right now we're joined by Dane Cialino, Professor of Law at Loyola, and our friend to talk about the Linda Fricke trial and some of the things that's going on before the trial actually happened. Good morning, Dane. How are you?
Fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Tell me where we stand with, I guess you would call these evidentiary exclusions.
Well, that's a really good question, because the news reports on this are kind of all over the place. But what it looks like is the judge is hell-bent on going to trial in this case next week. And if the lawyers are having problems with getting some of the evidence analyzed, that's going to take a backseat to getting this case started next week. Quite unusual. Both the defense lawyers and the DA's office have asked for continuances to put the trial off to deal with these evidentiary issues, and she has denied both of their requests. And they have sought writs from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, asking that appellate court to step in and delay this trial. So the trial is set for next week. Today's Wednesday. I would think anything can happen, but don't be surprised if this case gets continued.
Yeah, it would seem like if both sides say they're not ready, the judge would oblige, but not so much?
Not so much. She said that this case was set for trial 10 months ago, which is a good point, which is true, and that she has cleared her docket so that at least one of these trials can start, and she's not moving it. So, that's quite unusual. As you said, usually if both parties say they're not ready for trial, the judge is going to say the case is going to be continued, but not here.
A lot of passion about this case in the community, and rightfully so. And I'm just wondering, is this kind of building in an appeal for one of the not the other, because the prosecution certainly couldn't appeal, but what about the defense?
It is. The defense lawyers have said on the record that they're not ready, and that sets up what's known as an IAC claim, ineffective assistance of counsel. Under the Sixth Amendment, you've got a right not just to a lawyer, but to an effective lawyer. And if your lawyer goes to trial and he or she is not ready, the only thing you can say for almost sure is that they're going to try that case again. And nobody wants to do that.
You said almost for sure that they're going to try it again? In other words, like a built-in appeal? The red flag's waving here. You're setting it up
indeed.
For an appeal.
Yeah, indeed. And particularly in a case like this where it's a very serious case. It's although these people were juveniles, they're facing juvenile life, which means they're going to get, if convicted, life sentences. They'll be eligible for parole in 25 years.
Wait, not juvenile life. They'll get adult life.
Well, they'll get adult life, but the difference is, since they're juveniles, they will get the ability to seek parole in 25 years.
But not get out when they're 21.
That's right, exactly. But they'll have that opportunity, but it's still obviously very serious charges, and appellate courts look at ineffective assistance of counsel claims in those cases very closely. And if defense lawyers 3 days before trial are announcing on the record that they're not ready, that there's forensic evidence that needs to be considered and tested, that's a strong grounds for a grant of a new trial on Sixth Amendment grounds.
There is video of this, is there not?
There is. I mean, disturbing video. But, you know, the problem with video in so many of these cases is that everybody kind of looks like a blurry offender, mm-hmm. and it's hard to make out facial features in a lot of these low-resolution videos. And they're very helpful. They're damning in many cases, but in some cases it's hard to pick out who's who. You need more than just the video.
So this is not a slam dunk of a case for people that are watching the video and thinking it is?
Well, I don't think there's any slam dunk case. Anything can happen in a jury trial. Juries can do whatever they want, and if they go, as you've already said, for the defendant, it's nothing that anybody can appeal. So if you're a prosecutor, you don't want to overprove your case, but you want to come up with as much evidence as you possibly can. And juries are demanding forensic CSI type evidence, and here what is not apparently complete on both sides is the evaluation of fingerprint and DNA evidence, which if the jurors don't have that kind of evidence, they're going to want to know why. And they see it on TV. They want to see it in the courtroom. So this is something that is important evidence. This isn't a slam dunk case. Both sides want an appeal to deal with the fingerprints and the DNA. It's just a little surprising that the judge is pushing everyone to trial.
One thing always puzzles me is why a prosecutor, knowing that they got to turn over what they have with discovery, is it why they would withhold it? Because all they're doing is damaging the case in the long run, right?
Yeah, so true. And I don't know why in this case there were delays. Sometimes perhaps it's due to the NOPD not getting this information, the substances tested and the forensic testing completed. I don't know why the delays happened in this case. In years past, we had what are known as Brady violations with the prosecutors withholding exculpatory evidence. I don't think that happens as much anymore as it once did. No telling. Again, I'm just grasping a little bit at straws at why we are. This crime happened, nearly a year ago, and we're still talking about getting evidence tested at this point.
Mm. All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. We're talking to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, about the trial and the death of Linda Fricke that's set to start on April 3rd. And it just seems like the judge is rushing, Judge Kimya Holmes. The defense is saying they didn't have adequate time to prepare, didn't get the evidence that they needed in time or the results of the fingerprints and DNA. So she's saying, no, we're going to go ahead anyway, which you would think sets up an appeal automatically. So why would she do that? Why, as Dane just said, didn't they get the evidence they need? Why wasn't it tested in time? We'll talk about that a little bit more when we come back. You got any questions, 504-260-1870. It's 620, time for traffic, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dane Cialino, professor of law over at Loyola, and our friend whenever we need any legal consultation at all. Linda Fricke's death was just horrific. 73-year-old dragged along an SUV for about a block, died of blunt force injuries, lost her arm. The four people that are accused of that, set to go, is it four, Dane, or three that are accused, set to go up on trial on April 3rd?
I'm not sure, either three or four.
All right, and I'm just wondering what kind of evidence was it that the judge excluded because the prosecution didn't give it to him in time, so the judge said I guess what I'm asking is, instead of the judge saying, give it to him, the judge said, well, since you didn't give it to him, you can't use it?
Well, because they would have had time to analyze it before the trial date, and the trial, as she said, has been set for 10 months, and it's going forward, period. So, yeah, the evidence is both fingerprint and DNA evidence that purportedly ties one or more of these defendants to Ms. Fricke's automobile.
Some of the texts that are coming in, so what's reasonable? Can the lawyers drag it out for years claiming they're not ready?
Well, unfortunately, that does happen, too. The judge does have something of a point that this case has been set for a long time, and the lawyers on both sides should have been moving this case along. But cases do take too long in the criminal justice system and the civil justice system. And that's partly due to clogged dockets, but it's also due to lawyers dragging their feet.
They're in jail, so it wouldn't really benefit the client any to drag their feet, would it?
No, but criminal defense lawyers almost uniformly prefer to have cases drag on. Cases don't get better over time for the prosecution. They get worse. Witnesses disappear, die. Police officers move along, move out of town. It's usually in the favor of the defense to have cases drag on.
And then this text comes in, and I was going to follow up on it as well. You're talking about the video, and it seems like you can't do anything now without it being captured on video. But as you said, when you look at the faces, maybe you see a smudge, maybe you see a blur, maybe you see the face, maybe you don't. Around the country in Louisiana, New Orleans, how accurate is video evidence, and does it, over a preponderance of time, lead to the conviction of defendants on the video evidence, or not necessarily?
Yeah, and again, video technology has gotten far better. I mean, yesterday in my criminal law class, we were talking about the Rodney King case from the early 90s, and those blurry videos, you just kind of see images of people moving on the street. And that was, that was nearly 30 years ago. The video technology over time has gotten much more high definition, and they're a lot better with ring cameras and more ubiquitous with ring cameras and doorbells and whatnot. So, yeah, lots more criminal activity is caught on videos, and the videos are getting better. But unfortunately, particularly over the pandemic, with offenders wearing masks, offenders often wear hoodies covering their faces, so it's they're helpful, but in many cases, prosecutors need more.
Wow, thank you, Dane. I appreciate it. Any final thoughts on this?
No, I think we'll find out something from the appellate court on Thursday or Friday, and we'll see whether this trial goes.
Once it starts, it starts. It's not going to be delayed after that.
Very unlikely. It's either going to be delayed Thursday or Friday or not at all.
Thank you, Dane. Have a good day. Dane Cialino, professor of law over at Loyola. When we come back, we're going to talk to Brian Snyder. He's an associate.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.